The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Again, greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the evening that God has given us. And in it, we honor, we remember, we look, and we anticipate Advent, that second coming of Christ. But at the same time, we celebrate Christ present with us, Christ here, Christ among us, the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift, to lead us, guide us, strengthen us, comfort us, provide us with insight and power to serve, to touch the lives of others. For Christ is truly the light into a darkened world, and He calls us to be salt and to be light. For this is the evening that God has blessed us with. May we truly rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before You this evening, we thank You for Your blessings, Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, Your peace, and Your presence. We thank You for that holy birth so many years ago that truly did bring light, hope, opportunity, but most of all, love. A love that we still seek to try to understand and emulate in our own lives. But God, we find it so hard, difficult, and sometimes just unattainable. But God, we know that You can do all things and that Your Holy Spirit empowers us and touches us. May we now worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20, is the Christmas, not story, but it's the history of Christmas. I'm going to ask that if you can, as you will and are able, to stand for this reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. May we give attention now to this reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had seen had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This Advent season, I've been looking at some less significant people. You know, we've always got kind of the major players, but sometimes the major players are not as noticeable, if you will. You know, it's about the birth of Jesus. It's about the dedication of Mary. It's about the dedication of Joseph. And we can look at the story. It should be familiar to most Christians, and we know that they went to Bethlehem. They went back to his hometown, and they were not afforded a place to stay. They were actually rejected. It wasn't that the motels were full. They knew this scandalous relationship that was going on. That's why it says there was no place in the New Revised Standard instead of no room, that is, in the King James. So they go to a stable. Now think about this. They're in a stable. She has her baby with the horses and the other animals that might be there. Her crib for baby Jesus is a manger, a place where they fed the animals. How many of you would lay your brand new newborn baby in cow spit? Really? I mean, there Jesus is. And maybe it's not cow spit. Maybe they lined it with some used straw. Clean straw. Wrapped in swaddling clothes in this bands of cloth. They had a tradition of wrapping the babies kind of mummified to keep them warm, to keep the circulation up. And they were now, this is all going on, right? But now, going on out in the countryside, the angel of the Lord goes and finds a group of shepherds. You know, they could have went down to the temple. I bet there were some good religious folk hanging out down there, don't you? I bet there were some people down there who never left it. They were always there. Don't know why, but they were always there. He goes to shepherds, and it says those shepherds weren't just out in the field to tend. These shepherds lived out there with their sheep. They were living in the fields. This was their life, these sheep. It was what they had. It's what they depended on. It's what they were entrusted with. It was their income. It was their livelihood. And in a short time, it's probably food on the table. Shepherds. Poor by any standard. Disadvantaged by any other standard. But you know, I thought about that a lot. Shepherds. Living in the field. How many of you like to go camping? Anybody here like to go camping? Live in Wyoming, you better like to go camping, at least some. How many like to just kind of get away from town and lay down and look at the stars here? Folks, you need to understand how privileged you are. Back east, you don't get to see stars like you do here. There's too many lights. You can't get away from them. Just like to listen in the calm of the night to the sounds that are around you. Maybe you've camped next to a creek or a lake and you can hear the water. If you listen close, you may hear something going along the edge of the water. And maybe that'll keep you up the rest of the night to enjoy all of everything else. Or maybe that coyote call was a little too close. And maybe you tell somebody that's with you it's a rare desert frog. I told Buck Carey that. We went camping in the desert not long after we'd been here. And the coyotes, you know, they walk around all night and make all kinds of sounds. And she said, "What is that?" I said, "It's a really rare desert frog." I couldn't think of another thing to tell the woman. About a year later, we're over at the Poposia River, over at the falls, and we go in that wildlife center there, and they have all these sounds of wildlife, you know. She found out that it was not a frog. It was a coyote. I was in some trouble following that evening. She hasn't believed me any other time when I've told her what a sound was. Those shepherds were in touch with nature that was around them. Their livelihood, their lives, and the lives of their sheep depended on it. They needed to know when something looked different, sounded different, and smelt different. They had to be on watch all the time. And of all the people that this angel could go visit, it was the shepherds. And I said, maybe if they'd have went and talked to Caiaphas, he'd have had a little different attitude about things later. Then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. There's something going on here, isn't there? Let's chew on a little bit of history. The animal that was the acceptable sacrifice for sins was a baby lamb. The acceptable sacrifice for sin would become Jesus, who would be called the Lamb of God. Jesus will often reference sheep, shepherds. My sheep will know me. He'll be known as the Good Shepherd. He gives the judgment scene where the goats are separated on the left and the sheep on the right. Shepherds. I don't think it was a coincidence that here we are, Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, the hometown and city of David, the greatest king of Israel, and the king who God had chosen to reign Israel, and David, the one to whom God had given the promise of a kingdom that would never end. And Jesus is born in the city of David in Bethlehem of Judea, full fulfillment of God's promise. And guess what? David was a shepherd. When he was called to be king of Israel, Samuel asked Jesse, "Where is your other son?" And he said, "He's tending the sheep." Shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news. They were the first ones outside of Mary and Joseph to put eyes on baby Jesus. I don't know about you, but that kind of sort of gives me the chilly willies. What about you? Can you imagine holding him in your arms? No wonder Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds. Not only were they the first to hear, but they were also the first to proclaim the Messiah born. That first birth of Jesus wasn't an accident. It was by purpose. The text says that he was a Savior, the Son of God, who was born for us. The text says, you. In the fulfillment of the Scriptures and the promises, Christ came and fulfilled the Scriptures. And the promise to Jesse and the promise to David all comes to life here. Pastor, what does that have to do with me? I'm not a shepherd. You know, I don't even like leg of lamb, you know, when it comes around Easter time, you know. It's acquired taste, maybe. I particularly like it. I think they're smelly and ugly and dumb. So what does it have to do with me? Well, it has this to do with you. Jesus came for you too. Not just shepherds in a field. Fulfillment of promise. Every Old Testament promise was fulfilled in Jesus. There's one left, and that's the promise of Jesus that in like manner you saw him leave, in the same manner he shall return. Christ is coming back. The promise was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, of the Messiah. The next promise is the coming of Christ. You can trust his promises. Number one. The sermon is entitled Christ Mass. Hold on to his promises, I'm coming back. Where do we get this word Christmas from? It comes from Catholicism. The early Christian church stands for the Christ Mass, or the Mass at Christmas, and the world caught it and brung it into the word Christmas. We have now this word Christmas means the celebration of communion, celebrating the birth of Christ. We'll do that in a little bit. We're going to have Christmas, Christmas, Christ Mass. Now, we don't call it Mass in Methodism. It's Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. So now back to where I was. Number one for us as Christians, we can trust the promises of Christ. What did he promise? Number one, I love you. Number two, I'll always be with you. And number three, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Number four, I'm coming back. John 14. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The promises of Christ are something you can hold on to because they are not going to move. They're not going to let you down, and they're not going to fail you. I got news for you. How many of you have had somebody promise you something and they didn't follow through? Okay. How many of you have promised somebody something and you didn't follow through? Put the shoe on the other foot. Jesus hasn't broken promise. Sometimes we don't have the power to keep them. Sometimes we don't have the power to keep them from being broken. But that's not his problem. He can keep them. And he does. What's the greatest promise? I am with you always. And the best words that probably were ever said were whispered from a cross. Father, forgive them. Love and grace. You see, we can't hold the birth of Jesus in one hand without holding the crucifixion in the other. Shepherds? Shepherds? Christ came for all. He just started with shepherds. Because he knew that they could find a manger. Other people might not would have. Have you thought about that? Those shepherds knew where the mangers were. The angel said, you'll find him in a manger. Who better to find one than a shepherd? That is where it began. May we too be shepherds. But more than that, on this Christmas Eve, may we hold on to his promises that are sure and certain. Those shepherds had no doubt about the promises being kept. May we have no doubt that Christ can and will keep his promises to us as well. Amen. May your hearts be filled with the Christ of Christmas, and may you, in the words of Ebenezer Scrooge, keep Christmas well, for you keep it in your heart. And may the love of Christ and the love that is Christmas keep you, bless you, not just on one day out of the year, but all year long. Now, truly, may Christ go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.